I'm Jason Klom, and this is the Comedy on Vinyl podcast. The year is 2001. The album, Tenacious D, the artist, Tenacious D? Really, Jason? You're a professional. Tenacious D, my guest is Shane Houghton. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. We're off to a good start.
We are. I'm stumbling
that's
over
how,
my words.
That's how the album starts.
They
say, we got to write a fucking song, and then they play a chord, and then they're like, oh, I don't like it. It's off to a bad start. So, what
that was
you
a plan.
Just did, it was perfect.
It was perfectly
it's
planned.
Perfect for this album.
What I did on purpose. Thank you so much for catching my artistry. Shane. You co-created Big City Greens.
Yes.
Which is a Disney show and is adorable and
thank
funny. Let's talk about that very quickly, and then we'll talk about the album, and then we'll talk about it again at the end of the show.
So. Perfect, yeah. My brother Chris and I, we created this show. It's based on our lives. We grew up in Michigan in the countryside, farm country, dirt roads, cornfields, that sort of thing.
Sure.
And then moved to Los Angeles where everything was different.
Mm-hmm.
We said, hey, that's a show. And so we based the characters on our lives and have just infused it with hopefully our sense of humor.
Uh-huh.
And we love a lot of different types of comedy. And we have pulled from those different types to help populate our show. So it follows this country family. They're very sweet and funny. My favorite thing is we've been able, now that we like have a show, we can pull in all of our favorite comedy people.
Aha, I was catching that. That's one of the reasons I was interested in talking to you. Yeah.
There's a lot of like, we love Comedy Bang Bang. So started with Scott Aukerman and then pulled in. There's like Lauren Lapkus, Paul F. Tompkins, James Adomian.
Oh my God.
Geez, there's so many people who we just absolutely love who can like, we'll have come in and be like, you want to play a dentist? You know, just something weird. And
so good.
It's been great. That's kind of the nutshell, the show.
Yeah.
Have you seen many episodes?
I saw the first episode.
Great. Yeah, the first episode, the first half hour is up on YouTube for free, so you can check that out, Big City Greens. And we just premiered this summer. We had 18 half hours come out, and
awesome.
We have a big Halloween special coming up that's going to premiere in October. And then we have many more episodes. They already greenlit a season two before season one aired, which was delightful. And a huge vote of confidence from the studio, so... we are very happy and just cranking away, making tons of episodes.
That's awesome. That's wonderful. And it's, yeah, I will tell you, like, the reason I found out about it, I want to say, I'm thinking Griffin McElroy retweeted that he was in. I'm like, wait a minute. All right. Hold on.
What is
this? Let me check this out. Let me check this out. And then I'm like, oh, everybody I like is involved.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's amazing. So now we're moving on from the Disney content to Tenacious D, which is the least Disney content possible.
Right,
maybe?
Which is kind of why I'm so excited to talk about it.
Yeah?
So I wanted, when you asked me to be on this, I wanted to pick something that was really influential for me growing up and something that nobody had talked about on your podcast before.
Yeah.
And nobody's talked about Tenacious D, right?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
It's come up maybe, but not as
but
a simple
like
thing.
But nobody's like done a... Okay. Where do you land on Tenacious D? Like, give me your brief history.
I only know their music. The show, here's the problem I had, is that when their show was on, the only person I know who tried to introduce me to it was a dick, and I didn't like him at all. I'm like, fuck this. I don't care
it's
what
like,
you
I don't like.
Like
that guy. I don't like his taste.
Exactly. And then I saw High Fidelity. I'm like, oh, he's a genius. Jack Black's wonderful. And then eventually I fell into it. I've never seen much of the show, but I love the music, and like, again, comedy albums are my thing.
Yeah.
And I realized I've heard maybe a third of this before I finally listened to it the other night. So,
okay. Good.
Yeah.
Okay. I like that. Okay. So I growing up, my brother and I. I think one reason why I picked Tenacious D also is because it's a duo. It's these two guys. It's Jack Black and Kyle Gass. Jack Black, most people know, famous movie star, but also like an insane rocker and like vocal genius.
Yeah.
And then Kyle Gass, his like the classical musician of our day, who's just like a music master. Also very funny in his own right.
Yes.
And so the two of them came together to make this band, Tenacious D. And I did a bunch of research because I didn't know like how they got together until like today when I was like,
amazing.
I couldn't figure out how that happened. But my intro to them was in high school. I grew up, so my parents, and they have since come around to this and decided it was a bad decision. But when we were growing up, they got rid of all their records. So we had no music in the house.
Oh, man.
And they're like, just like, oh, why do we do that? Why do we get rid of our like Beatles albums and Michael Jackson and just like everything? So growing up, didn't have anything. And so I was very starved for like good music.
Uh-huh.
So come high school, you know, you start to meet more people and everybody's kind of introducing and passing albums around. And I got really, I was, both my brother and I were in musical theater. So we did musicals and plays. And there's always an eclectic group of people who come together to do like high school plays. And one guy one day brought in this album, this Tenacious D album. And he was a really funny guy. And after listening to the album, I realized he's just like doing Jack Black. Like he listened to it so much that he was like imbued with the spirit of Jack Black. And I was like, oh, I see. Okay. And it was the first time that something like really, I got into something that was really funny. And I think part of it was because it was also musical.
Okay.
So it's these, this album is laid out like there's a bunch of songs and then there's like skits, sketches, just vocal sketches in between most songs. Some of the sketches set up a song and they'll like launch into it. But it's a really random smattering of songs. And I didn't realize till way later that a lot of them were from the TV show.
So okay.
Before this album, there was a TV show on HBO that had like, I think they did like 10, like 15 minute episodes or so, something pretty short, but it's a TV show. And so like they had the little short films and there was a couple of songs per episode. And so usually they're something based on like a plot that they're going on about. And I didn't realize so much later because some of them are so weird and random that you're like, what does this mean? And why did they write this song? And then you watch it in context of a TV show and you're like, oh, it's a part of a story.
Right.
Like they're doing a story beat. But as a high schooler who didn't know that, I just thought like, wow, what a random selection of topics to talk about.
Right.
And somehow that elevated the level of comedy for me. It was like, it was still just really funny.
So,
So I fell into this album hard. I hadn't listened to it in a couple of years, but listened to it getting ready for this. And I was just like, oh, yeah, I know every word of this. Like,
right.
I listened to this in high school so much, so frequently, that it's just, it's one of those things that's just drilled into my brain permanently forever.
Good.
Which is delightful.
It is. You know what I love, too, about this? So I'm a big proponent and have been a long time. Like, one of the reasons I got into sketch comedy and writing sketch comedy and making my own sketch albums is Cheech and Chong. Like, highly produced shit. Like, really beautifully sound designed stuff.
Yeah.
Which is weird that a couple of stoners are so responsible for a lot of, they did not produce it. Like a very I've hit my mic so many times this episode.
You're so excited and animated.
I am. But like, I love that shit, but there's something about the intentional lo-fi, no effects, like they've got their hands over their mouth to do the fucking, like
the drive-through voice.
Yeah. There's no production. It's just them fucking around, legit laughing with each other.
Which is so endearing.
It is.
I think the core of this, why this works is it's like, they're playing these characters who are like these two pompous assholes who are so egotistical about their music, but like just talented enough. And yet they're so like in their world, they're so bad.
But
I think what makes it so great is like it's legit good music. Like they're both very talented in what they do. And so there's something about this, like they're this forever underdog where they're like, if you were to go to a bar and to an open mic and see, you've seen like these guys or the characters that these guys are playing.
Sure, sure.
It's like these two guys, just acoustic guitars. I love that Kyle Gass just wears like a t-shirt, shorts, and then like socks and sandals. And they're just like, hey, I take this very seriously. Okay, this song like came to me in a dream and I'm going to play for you. And then in real life, the band would start playing and it'd be just this atrocious song that you just could not stand. But what's so great about these guys is they do that, and they take the music so seriously. They get up there, and they play a song, but it's actually good for, like, the audience to watch, but everybody in the world of their, in their world, it thinks it's garbage.
Yeah.
And it's, like, that's so delightful. Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, I made a little cheat sheet, is how I wanted to get their timeline correct and drop a couple of facts that I hope Tenacious D seems big enough that like people have like listened to them, right? Like
they have to have, right? I mean, or at least know one of the, again, like me, know several of their songs without even owning one of the, I imagine, right?
Yeah. Okay, so the timeline begins, like, back in mid-90s. Mm-hmm. Jack Black and Kagas meet each other, and this is rumored, and so I don't know if this is true.
Okay.
But, like, they did not like each other when they first met each other.
Okay.
And they were in some comedy group together, and they were both intimidated by each other's, like, abilities. Like, Kagas was like, oh, man, that Jack Black, he's so funny and musical, and he's so good. Mm-hmm. And Jack Black's like, dang, that Kagas, like, he's so good. And eventually they were in some production together, and like I guess they got over it and started a band. And it's like, okay, amazing. I don't know how much of that is true,
yeah, but
I like it, and it feels like that's how a band should come together. It's mm-hmm. like a it's like a rom-com, you know? It's like, I hate you, but like I really love you. So they come together, and they start playing in Kyle's apartment, and Kyle teaches Jack how to play guitar, mm-hmm. and Jack teaches Kyle how to act a little better, and they both like improve each other, which is like the perfect duo teamwork combination that is like they're both plussing each other and lifting each other up. And then they get this, they wrote some weird song about Jack Black's girlfriend that he broke up with that I guess they play live sometimes, but I have not heard it. Then they wrote Tribute. And so this is like their most famous song, and this is the one that blew up, which is like the second song they wrote, which is incredible.
That's nuts.
And so, I mean, you've heard Tribute, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I love
Let's take a little detour and talk about Tribute for a second. Tribute is so good and so funny. The comedic premise is like they wrote the best song the world has ever heard, and they played it for the devil who appeared to them on a long and lonesome road, and they cast him out by playing the most amazing song ever. And then the tragedy of it all is they're playing this song, and they say, this isn't the song. This isn't that song. This is just a tribute to it because we forgot it. We can't remember what it was, which is brilliant.
Yeah.
So they made this song. It's their first hit. Jack Black said it was based on... He listened to a Metallica song called One... Do you know that song?
I don't
either. I looked it up today, though.
I don't know my music.
So he said that was the best song in the world, and they should write something like that. And Kyle Gass is like, we'll never write the best song in the world. And then Jack Black's like, cool, we'll do a tribute to it.
I love it.
Delightful.
Just side note, that music video is also one of my favorite music videos from the era, directed by Liam Lynch, who's a fucking genius.
And I just saw it again this morning, and it's so delightful. They just, it's, again, with that, like, that same underdog, like, they're forever underdogs, they go to a mall, and there's, like, a little, like, coin machine for, like, hey, record your own album, and it's meant to be, like, a karaoke thing, and Jack Black, like, cuts into it with wire cutters, and he's like, no, we're gonna sing our own song, and then they sing this song, and then in the end, they bust out of this little box, and are singing to people in the mall. And, Ben Stiller just walks by and like, gives him a look and then keeps going. I guess they were around that era. Like, there's a mid-90s kind of group of people, the Mr. Show guys and Ben Stiller. And I guess Bob Odenkirk and David Cross helped Jack Black kind of get his start. They cast him in Mr. Show.
Right.
So the Mr. Show appearance plus Tribute... and a couple of other songs that they recorded on the Tenacious demo, which was, like, their first recording. That was passed around town, and then somebody at HBO heard it and was like, let's get those guys a show.
Yeah.
So that led to the show, which was very short-lived and just, like, 3.5 hours, those, like, 10 or so shorts. And that, basically, they wrote a song or two for each episode, which led to this self-titled album.
That's amazing.
Yeah, which is, it's so good. And then, according to the internet, it was quickly gold-selling and then platinum, which
Christ.
I feel like is, what an accomplishment.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, for a comedy album, yes.
Yeah, right? So, I think it's the combo of just, like, hilarious frontman or duo with just really amazing music, but with this kind of humble... like real life humble attitude to like how underdog they are, yet the characters are such like big hard or like big blowhards and so self-centered and confident, and like they will stab each other in the back just as quickly as they'll like make up with each other and reunite their bromance. It's delightful. I love it.
It's wonderful. Have you ever then gotten to revisit and actually watch the show? Because I never have.
I have. There is the complete Masterworks, which the second part of my like. So like my brother and I discovered this album, blew our minds. We're like, this is so good. The first video we saw was Wonder Boy, uh-huh. which was, I think, their second single after Tribute. And Wonder Boy is a weird video because it's kind of like, it looks like Game of Thrones, where Jack Black is this, like, adventurer, like, covered in fur in, like, an icy tundra, and he's got a big broadsword. And he's kind of alone until he meets Kyle, who's out there, who's, like, a bard, like a musical bard. And then he goes into a tunnel and, like, fights a monster off-screen and then, like, gets stabbed by his own sword, and that's the end. It's really weird, but it's gorgeous, beautifully shot.
Yeah.
And it says in the beginning of it, where is it? I wrote this down because I thought it was so strange. It was like, it says it's a film by Marcus von Bühler. And I was like, who is that?
Uh-huh.
And then I looked it up online, and it's just Spike Jonze's, like, one of his pseudonyms.
That's fucking funny.
Which I thought was great. And it's like, yeah, it feels like, I told my wife this morning, I was like, this video feels like a Weezer video for some reason. And then I think it's like that just kind of mid-90s kind of Spike Jonze influence in music videos. But
yeah.
It's great. So I saw that video first, and my brother and I had an argument of whether that was Jack Black or not.
Really?
Because in the video, he's not that funny. He's playing it very straight. He's playing it like Lord of the Rings.
For sure.
And then it isn't till like the end when, and the lyrics are all very straight. It's just like, that is the song that a band who's into heavy metal and like who has the inspiration, these kind of rock operas, that's the song they would write. So I think they wrote that song as like, this is what the band would write. Most of the Tenacious D songs are about Tenacious D and about them being a band. So they've had this one really kind of straight song, and there's no real jokes in it except for one part. He says he's fighting a hydra and he says grab its scrote. Which I was like, okay, there's like, that's slightly part of their like vulgar brand, but besides that, it's like nothing. And so I was a little confused. I was like, is that Jack Black? It seems too serious. It seems too, like, feels too Weezer. You know, there's something going on here. And then we saw Tribute after, and it's like, oh, yeah, of course. Because Jack Black is just, like, he's this funny comedian, movie star. Like, he was not supposed to be in a band.
Right.
It was just so weird to see somebody who you saw acting and being really funny and, like, being so successful at one thing to parlay that into something else that he's so good and successful
For
at.
For sure.
Which is just... man.
And I love that he keeps coming back to it, because I mean, I remember my memory is just learning of him through this dipshit and then eventually seeing him in High Fidelity. I'm like, oh, this guy's great. I hope he does really well for himself. And it's like, oh, fuck. Like the biggest thing in the world.
Yeah, right?
That's still strange to me because I think he's very funny.
Oh, yeah.
But his movie brand is like very much like, let's get you another Jack Black part. He, for a very long time, was just playing Jack Black parts.
Just
and it's
his
like,
own thing.
He could have fucking buried himself in that, and that could have been bad, but I don't. He's fucking done brilliantly.
He's done a lot of like, he's had his like his rocket to stardom and then his like kind of fall, but not so much a fall, but just like, remember when he did that Gulliver's Travel?
I never
saw it, but it's just like in the trailer, I think he like pees on a bunch of little people to like put out a fire or something.
Which, of course,
it's just like, okay, like how far you've come, but then it's like. There's kind of like this second rise of Jack Black now with like Jumanji, and I hear there's a new Tenacious D album coming out.
Awesome.
I think at the end of this month, which we are very close. So
amazing.
In just a couple of days. This is good timing.
It
for
is
this.
Good timing, yeah.
Post-Apocalypto, I think it is called. It's supposed to be some YouTube cartoon release.
Oh.
And then there's an album. So
okay.
I don't really know too much about it, but
All right.
Check out
that.
That
sounds amazing. I am going to pull up the track listing very quickly because Jesus Christ. So there are a lot on here, by the way, that I had never heard before. Mostly the sketches in between, but then some songs. I'm like, these are, I had heard Kielbasa. I guess I had forgotten it. It's they're all so dumb. I don't know how they get away. I think it's being they can do the sophomoric shit as long as the songs are really well put together.
Exactly.
You know,
it's
there's so much to it.
It's like, it's very vulgar and juvenile, which is partly why I think I responded to it as like a sophomore in high school. But yeah, it's like, but it's also like, it's very, there is a charm at the very core of it. There's a friendship there that like totally comes through. And even though they mock their own friendship, and like there's songs about like Kyle quit the band.
Yes.
And it's like, I think in the sketch before, it's like Kyle each Jack Black's schnitzel out of the refrigerator, and so they get in a fight and Kyle quits. They immediately go into the song called Kyle Quits the Band, and he talks about how he quit the band, and then but immediately they're back together again. And then it just becomes a celebration and a party of like the two of them being together, and it, like, it, there is no chorus or anything. It's just a like, that's the most like rock opera thing, but it's weird because like they immediately like drop the conflict of it and just get into like the celebration.
Yeah,
they also have a song called Friendship, which kind of mocks their own friendship. There's a line about as long as there's a record deal, we'll always be friends, which is so like the kind of like 1980s rock bands that are like, you always heard those stories. They're like, everybody, like the lead singer hates the guitarist, and like they're all mad at each other, and everybody hates each other, but they still do gigs. And I like that the Tenacious D plays that up, but really, like, you can just tell, like, these guys are the closest friends. They really love each other. And there's, like, there is a sweetness there that I absolutely adore. But then it's on top of, like, it's underneath, really, all the dick and fart jokes and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
I'm trying to think of what I love them. It's weird. Wonder Boy is absolutely one of my favorites, but you're right. It is not.
It's the least Tenacious D song. You know, like stacked up against everything else they've done.
Right.
It's not very funny, but it is a great song.
Yep. I think that's why I find it so funny.
Uh-huh.
The severe commitment to how, and again, I saw the video first, and I'm like, this is brilliant, and it's so taking itself so fucking seriously and straight serious that I was just like, that sold me on them, I think.
Yeah.
I just, again, you're right. Not a single joke, well, except for the scrote. But, yeah, there's something about that sold me on them.
Yeah.
It's just them really like, no, we're going to commit to this joke. This is what these guys think is the best thing in the world.
I think the song that sums up, like, their sophomoric humor the best is, and I'm sorry to my parents who are probably listening to this because they love me, but the song Fuck Her Gently.
Thought you might say
it's
that.
It's so funny because it's, it is such a sweet song about, like, how to love your lover in the right way, but using the most vile language, but sung with this, like, this deep devotion. And so it's so serious and straight about, like, this is how to do something so nice for someone, and it's all like selfless acts, but like using just the most foul language, and it's that contrast, that juxtaposition, that just, that's where comedy lives. It's those two extremes, and I love it. It feels like at because it's so basic and like juvenile, I guess is the real word, but it just works, and it's so funny. It feels like a masterclass in, like, this is how to do comedy. You take two things that are kind of on the opposing ends, and you slam them together. There's, like, a common link, but, like, the farther, the more extreme two ideas are, and if you can connect them, the funnier it'll be.
It's weirdly sex positive with, again, the like, the least positive type of language.
Yes,
it's,
yeah.
I adore it. I had never heard cock push-ups before. Sorry, I'm just looking at random things in here, and I'm just like,
yeah.
The ones that threw me off.
This might be why my parents didn't want me to listen to music.
Yeah, yeah, I get that.
cock push-ups. That's just the joke of that one is they're getting ready for like a tour, and there's gonna be girls throwing themselves at them, and they gotta like strengthen up and get ready, and so you gotta exercise, and so you gotta do a cock push-up. And Kyle's like, "Oh, what's a cock push-up?" And Jack Black is like, "Oh, so when you lay down, and then you just let the strength of your own cock lift you up." And Kyle says, "Well, how many can you do?" And Jack Black says, "Well, I guess, you know, just the one."
maybe you'll be able to assess this in your own way as a person who is involved with voice acting and you know, knowing voice actors, writing for voice actors, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There's something about it. This album works in a way where I was listening to it with somebody who would not necessarily like this type of humor unless done by these exact two people.
Right.
And it's kind of the same for me. I'm like, if this was done by, I was going to say no offense to him, but I don't care. If it was done by Adam Sandler, any of this material, I'd have no interest in it.
You're right. You're right. That's very interesting.
You know?
And why is that? Like, Adam Sandler, funny guy, but he's got, like, I feel like with Adam Sandler, there's like a anger underneath him.
Yeah.
You know, that drives his comedy, which is very funny.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Jack Black, he's so delightful. He's like a pixie. Mm-hmm. He's just this happy, funny. When he's mad, he's funny.
Exactly. You know,
so like he can't do anything that's too. It's like, weirdly enough, I've never seen Jack Black do anything too vulgar. And,
right.
And he's just got that. He's just got that special talent that, like, Jack Black's funny when he's sitting. You know, he's funny doing anything.
Yeah.
And I think so that he can take these really, like, potentially offensive and juvenile things, but like make them really funny. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just his special talent, because you're right. Like any other comedian, it just like would come off as like lowbrow or crass.
Yep.
That's very interesting.
And it could be something. Here's the thing. This is an incomplete theory, but it does have to do. Again, Pixie Ish is a very good way to put it. Like he's somewhat childlike. And I was thinking about this in watching. There's a clip from The Pick of Destiny where it's the very beginning, and it's his origin story. Where there's this kid who was cast perfectly as young Jack Black.
Yes,
and
looks
he
just like
nails a couple of the most of the looks. He's acting Jack Black the whole time, and I'm like. Okay, A, I love that this kid's parents let him mouth some of these words. Uh-huh. That's amazing. But B, it's the same exact charm as Jack Black. So there's something in there, and yeah. I don't know what it is.
Well, you know what it is? I think like Jack Black has just such a strong like comedic point of view, like his personality, mm-hmm. everything about him is so him mm-hmm. that I feel like it's just an infectious type of attitude.
Mm-hmm.
So like that kid who introduced me to Tenacious D in high school, he was acting like Jack Black, and I think it's just because he was listening to Jack Black mm-hmm. so much that there's like something that gets just you get sucked in your own personality, and you can't help but do a little yeah. Jack Black, which is interesting. He's like just this raw element, and it kind of rubs off on yeah. everybody else.
That's true. I mean, I've had that problem with comedy my whole life, where like or music too though. If I sing a song, if I'm not I don't enjoy it as much unless I'm singing in that person's voice. Whereas, like, in certain comedy, when I was a kid, I didn't know that some of these things were inappropriate, given I didn't understand that I'm white and there's some voices you don't do if you're white. But, like, some of this stuff, like, didn't, you know, you wanted it to come out as you heard it. You wanted to reenact it, replay it in your life. And there are certain people that have that energy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, definitely.
It's a very good point. That again, and that's one of those things that will teach you to be either that guy. Is that guy still perform? Jack Black?
No, he wasn't even a performer.
Oh, okay.
He's just a guy who just was guy just like in high school and
that's
you know
funny.
In drama class was like, "Hey, have you heard Tenacious D?"
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just a guy.
That was the loudest water pour. I apologize.
It's okay. It's hot in here. It's hot today.
It is very hot. Yeah, Well, let's talk about this then.
Yeah.
And I apologize, having only seen one episode of your show, but
sure.
Are there musical elements in episodes I have not seen? Is that something you're going to work? I mean,
yeah,
musical theater is your thing.
We love, well, we started in musical theater. So uh-huh. My brother and I, we were in bands together growing up.
Mm-hmm.
We did musical theater. We did, I started making a bunch of short films and my brother would act in them.
Uh-huh.
He started doing animation. I went off to film school. He went to art school. Mm-hmm. So we've always kind of been collaborating. And then we made a comic book together just right after college.
Okay.
It's called Reed Gunther. It's about this bear riding cowboy. They fight monsters in the Wild West. It's really fun.
Amazing.
And so we made that, and that kind of opened up a lot of doors in animation. And
uh-huh.
so we were able to start working on different shows.
That's awesome.
And we both ended up working on Harvey Beaks at Nickelodeon for uh-huh. a while. So Tenacious D is very far away from what we're currently doing.
Yeah.
Like it's not like on brand
mm-hmm.
for like especially Disney.
Uh-huh.
But it is something that like I think what I respond to most is like that charming friendship between the two of them.
Yeah.
And even though it's coded in this awful like vulgar dressing,
yeah.
it's the core that I love.
Right.
And I think like it's weird to say that Tenacious D has like a lot of heart in them,
mm-hmm.
but they do.
They do.
And that's, I think, what we do a lot in the show.
Absolutely.
Is there's always this charm. There's always a tight-knit bond between the family, even though they're getting in fights with each other and kind of pitting each other against one another. It's definitely a dysfunctional family.
Uh-huh.
To answer your question, there's not a lot of musical elements. I guess there's, we have an opening theme song by the Mowglies,
uh-huh.
which is an amazing band.
Yeah.
Then there's an end credits song that my brother and I wrote,
uh-huh.
And my brother sings, kind of as Cricket. Cricket is the main character,
right.
And my brother voices him. So there's that. And then every once in a while we have a song in the show,
mm-hmm.
Pretty rarely, but there's a couple here and there. And those are always such a delight because it's so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a little bit harder to have a character break into song if they're not a musician. Like our show is very
yeah.
grounded.
Uh-huh.
And so it always bumps me a little bit, but I love musicals, but it is always a little like when somebody just launches into a song, you kind of have to feel like you have a reason.
Sure.
So we have a couple where we feel like we kind of launch into a song, but, only like three or four maybe
mm-hmm.
so far. But they're great. Love them. Our composer, Joachim Horsley, who is so delightful and so amazing. He scores everything and he writes all the music within the show. So we'll come to him with ideas that, like, sometimes the board artists who are writing the episodes will come upon a spot and they'll be like, I think it'd be funny if there's a song here. And they'll write some lyrics and kind of just like an idea to the music. And we'll compile all that and send it off to the composer. And he actually makes it sound really good.
Awesome.
Yeah, Chris and I have a musical background, and I think that helps in the show, especially with, like, editing.
I bet,
editing's all about timing, and so as long as you can, if you have a good sense of timing, it helps with kind of just pacing of the whole episode.
So there was some music.
There is a little win. Music. You did
That's my whole goal, is just to win. That's really all I'm here for. Do you have, have if we asked what your, that is your, which is your favorite song, 100%? Do you have a 100%
off of this album?
Yes. Maybe I didn't ask you that. Because, I mean, I'm looking at it, and I said Wonder Boy, but the more I look at it, I'm like, I don't know that that's necessarily true. And I actually really like the sketches quite a bit, and I already mentioned that, but because even though I really love well-produced stuff, there's so much charm.
There, I think, the other thing, when you asked me to do this, I was debating between a bunch of different musical comedy acts, and I think I've gravitated more to the musical comedy acts than just straight stand-up. I love stand-up, but like Weird Al and Flight of the Conchords, love those guys, and I think it's because just like comedy and music hit me at the same time, and so like this is the perfect blend of them. So as much as I love the sketches, I think I'd have to go with one of the songs. Man, but I mean, their singles, Tribute and Wonder Boy, I always come back to. Kielbasa is very funny.
Yes.
One song that I think about a lot is the song called Lee. And you haven't seen the HBO show, right?
No, I have not.
Okay, so Lee is one of those episodes that, or songs that kind of comes out of nowhere. You don't really know what it's about.
Okay.
They're just singing about Lee, and we have a friend named Lee, and he casts a spell on me, and they just sing Lee like a bunch of times. It's really funny. And then it ends, and you're like, what is that? That's one that I was like, I had no idea what it was until I saw an episode of the show, and it's so funny, the premise around that song. Tenacious D goes to, you know, they're playing a gig, and they finish, and there's one guy in the fan who's like clapping and loving it. And normally the audience is very unresponsive. There's one guy, and he comes up to him afterwards and has him sign their stuff and gets an autograph, and his name's Lee, and he's kind of weird. He's kind of a, like, psycho stalker-ish kind of guy. And so Tenacious D is like, oh, man, like, we got a fan that's great, but he's kind of a stalker. And then he starts like appearing to them, and they're kind of worried, like, oh no, like, is he gonna hurt us or whatever? But then they confront him or something, and he stops hanging around. And then Tenacious D, they're like, oh man, like, I wish Lee was here. Like, you know, Lee would love this. And like, hey, you know, like this food we're eating? Lee. And then they basically, it's a role reversal. They start stalking Lee, their fan, and trying to get him to like come back and be a fan. And Lee turns out is just a totally normal guy who's not stalkerish at all. And so they sing this song where they like love Lee and they need Lee and they go after Lee. And in this song on the show, they like murder Lee with like knives and stuff with these sadistic grins on their faces.
Oh my God.
And it all is kind of this little like fantasy of like, you know, what they want to do to Lee. None of that comes across in the song. Like, and after that song, I think out of the whole album is I love because it had this second life of the discovery of like a hilarious comedic premise of like fans and their stalkers and this role reversal. Also, there is a song at the very end of the album, like a little bonus song. I think it's called Malibu Dreams. Or something.
Let's see. We've got Friendship, Karate Schnitzel, Karate, Rock Your Socks, Drive Through,
the very last
City
track.
Hall. City Hall.
It's at the end. So it's that one's a medley. City Hall slash something, and then it's cut off on my phone. But I think it's called Malibu Nights, and they're like, it's just at the very end. It's one of those, the City Hall song is super long. It's like 6 or 7 minutes, and then there's a little sketch at the end, and then there's this little song that they're like, hey, we got to write something. Like, okay, how about this? And I'm pretty sure they're just improvising a song. Because it starts out really strong. Yeah. And it's really funny. And then it just devolves and you can hear it fall apart. And then they just stop. And it like doesn't end there. It just like stops. And it's so funny because it feels like just a peek behind the curtain on like, hey, look, let's play something. And Jack Black is just like riffing on some lyrics about Malibu nights and Malibu dreams. And Kyle's just making up some cool music. And they both just, like, flow. And you see, like, oh, I see how, like, their partnership works. And it's, like, really funny. And it's just, like, there's just this so much charm in it. And then, like, any improv thing, and like, any musical improv song, like, of course it's going to fall apart. Like, you, where do you go with the lyrics? And then it's, like, oh, nothing's planned. Yeah, then it just stops. But it's great. I love it.
Yeah, there everything on here where they crack up. There, again, this is another thing where, like, there are people who could do this, like, behind-the-scenes shit and be fucking a dud. Like, I would not want to listen to you improv. Do your polished shit and give me only that. But these guys, again, it could be charm, it could be something else. It's you're making me think now of all the old comedy albums that I love so much that are perfectly polished and well put together, and I love them, and I would love to see more people put together very well polished comedy albums. But then there's something like this pops up that does have people cracking up at each other's bullshit, and
it works because they're so charming. Like, there's something funny about them, and just like, I think it's part of the mythos of like the Tenacious D, like two idiots who like can't catch a break, and they're just hanging out in an apartment and joking around with each other and writing songs, and they go play gigs and nobody likes them and nobody listens to them. That's so relatable because so many people have done that or are currently doing that. And I think that's part of also, like, when I was in high school, it's like, yeah, I was in a band, and, like, we wanted to be big, but, like, we played, like, two gigs, and we were terrible, and, but we thought we were really cool, and it's, like, it's that vibe that I think so many more people relate to that than, I don't know, a successful band?
Yeah, right.
Also, the song Karate is one that I absolutely love. It's just like, with karate, I'll kick your ass. And like, that's all it is. And it's all about how he's going to beat up Kyle with karate, which is just delightful.
I can't, you know, I'm unable to pick, but I really liked that in listening to this album in full for the first time.
Yeah.
I got to relive some wonderful memories of songs that I've heard a billion times. And then there's not a dud on here, though. There's nothing bad on here.
No,
I wouldn't say there's anything on here where I'm like, skip. I had no interest in skipping because I don't know if it's well thought out in terms of, like, if they're like, this track. I wonder if they carefully planned out the tracks or not. I don't know. I don't know, but it works
really
for
tell.
Me. No, you can't. It's not like you
like
can go back.
It's either genius,
and,
like, planning or just delightful dumb luck. I probably am guessing delightful dumb luck.
Yeah. I mean, if that's it, great. Good on you guys. I would not pull a Scott Aukerman and resequence this because I wouldn't know how to do it. I wouldn't know what the fuck to do with any of it.
Yeah, right?
Oh, I love it so much. So after this, did you move on to any? You did say, was Weird Al somebody you listened to this roughly discovered at the same time? Or
yeah, I think so. I was trying to go back and figure out like the timeline of like when and how I got introduced to some of these comedy albums. I know my grandma introduced me to Abbott and Costello.
Really?
She had a cassette tape of Abbott and Costello and played that for me. She also showed me The Jerk for the first time, which I love.
Come on.
But she showed me a version that was on TV and was edited for TV.
Okay, yeah.
And so when Steve Martin is yelling at his dog, his dog's name was Stupid.
Ah!
And we thought, like, as a kid, I thought it was so funny.
Of course, of course.
Later, a couple years later, Jerk was on again, and this was after, I don't know, FCC laws have changed, and they said Shithead for the dog's name, and my grandma was so shocked, because I don't think she knew, I don't know if she had ever seen that version.
Amazing.
And we were just like, I don't know, Grandma, they must have changed it. It was so funny. So, I had that, and then around, I think my younger brother, no, okay, in, now I remember, exactly, in elementary school, in like, maybe fourth or fifth grade, there's a kid, Jeremy Geller, who came on the bus, and he brought two cassette tapes. One was of Weird Al's Bad Hair Day.
Sure.
And the other was The Youpers.
Oh, shit.
Do you know who that is?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so in Michigan, there's the Upper Peninsula, and people from the Upper Peninsula are called the Youpers. And it was a comedy group from, like, northern Michigan. Of those two, one really stuck. Can you guess which one?
the super regional comedy that everybody loves.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, boy. That's so fucking funny. You know, that's something I want to dig into at some point, by the way.
The Ubers?
Them or any other. I do have a bunch of regional comedy piled back here.
Yeah.
Including Maine comedy. Like, I want to do an episode on Maine comedy with John Hodgman. If you ever get out here, let's have you talk about this Maine comedy that you've mentioned before on your show several times. But yes, the Ubers, I feel like... Which, by the way, if I'm not mistaken, they are Da Upers, correct?
I was just rolling around in my head. I was like, I think it's Da Upers.
Yes, they 100% are. Exactly. And is it all music, right? Is it all, or are there sketches too?
Honestly, I don't remember.
Okay, all right.
I know it was comedy, but beyond that, I don't know. It might have been music because we were discovering Weird Al at the same time.
Yes.
It was the era of what's the real song called? Gangster's Paradise.
Yeah.
And I had heard that on the bus. And that friend of mine was like, yeah, but have you heard Amish Paradise? And I was like, what are you talking about?
I love it.
And so I listened to Weird Al, and he got me into that. And then from there, that was early on, and I could only ever borrow a cassette. So like, I never like had it to really get into. But the Running with Scissors was a huge one. That was kind of a couple years later, back when, God, was that like 99?
That
maybe?
Was 99 or 2000. I should remember. I saw it live. Fuck. Can't remember.
And it was around 2000, there. I think. Yeah. And that was kind of when I was getting into high school. And that was the same time. So Weird Al, Tenacious D. And I think I was just discovering lots of comedy. That was also like SNL was just like incredible around then. There was a lot of. I was just starting to get into like the best of Mike Myers and the best of Will Ferrell. And Will Ferrell was still maybe on for a little while before. But it was like, those eras just were incredible. And Austin Powers was like kind of around then.
Of course.
Yeah. So just that there was a lot. My brother and I were talking about Austin Powers recently. And we're like, they don't really. He watched it just like a couple weeks ago, and he's like, the first movie surprisingly holds up.
I would imagine that one does.
Yeah, and I was like, it's weird because like in this era, it feels like Austin Powers is so wrong. And he's like, yeah, but in the movie, everybody's like, Austin, you can't say that.
Yeah.
And that's the whole joke is like, he's so offensive, but like people are like, no, you can't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. And then he's watched the second and third one, and he's just like, I don't know.
Yeah, I would imagine. Jimmy Pardo's kid, Oliver, just reviewed. He watched all three. He's seen them all.
Yeah.
And the third one, he said, the third one is unnecessary. He's a 10-year-old kid, and that was his review. I'm like, yes, you're 100% right.
Yeah.
Although, real quick note, Scott Aukerman is in the third one, I feel like I should point out.
Yes. I do love the third one.
Uh-huh.
It's so gratuitous that Mike Myers plays four characters.
Jesus Christ,
it's insane.
Of course he
does. There's something about that one that, like, Beyonce's in it and Michael Caine's in it and like it's so stupid but and it's just like kind of playing all the hits of the Austin Powers series but that's the one that I had on DVD so like I watched that one a lot
okay.
So maybe that's why I liked it. It was just the most accessible to me.
That's so fucking funny.
Yeah, I loved it.
I don't think this show has ever endorsed Gold Member as a thing, but hey, it just happened. There's a first time for anything. I obviously love me some Wayne's World, which is why this is up. You seen Wayne's World 2?
Yes, I have.
I don't like Wayne's World 2.
Okay, yeah, I have it. I watched them both around the era of when they came out.
Sure.
And I don't remember much about them, but I remember people really didn't like the second one.
No. I mean, I know a lot of people who love it, but it's the same movie and it's pointless. I love this is one of my favorite films of all time. And so, don't ruin my favorite film of all time, people. But Mike Myers is a big fan of doing that.
Yeah.
I love Mike Myers. Mike, you're welcome on the show anytime. But just understand.
You know, there's one of our writers on the show.
Yes.
Loves the Star Wars prequels. And I'm always like, why? They're terrible. And his defense is the prequels don't change the original trilogy.
Absolutely true.
And so, maybe you could take... solace in the fact that Wayne's World 2 does not change Wayne's World 1.
For sure. I'd love to take solace in that. But
it's still out there and it exists and you just hate that it exists.
And I want him to make it up to me. And Inglourious Basterds didn't do it. You're only in that for 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's a weird cameo.
Yeah, it is weird.
It's a weird fucking cameo.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think. So how many of your like comedy people that you love have you had on your show now?
Oh, man.
I love so much. That's a fucking dream.
Yeah.
Like, you get to do your, I don't mean dumb, but, like, if it was my thing, my dumb little thing, and I get to have people I love on
it.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So you get to do your little thing.
It is so delightful to to just be a fan of somebody and try to trick them into doing your show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So having Paul F. Tompkins in was a delight. He is he's so nice and friendly, and you know, he can do a ton of voices. And yes. He's just so silly. But I don't know, everybody who's come in, it's like it is so great.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that we still would like to get in, but mm-hmm. they may be too big, or you know, there's all that. So I'm trying to dig back to like, you know, who I really liked, who might be in that like Jack Black rise, but then they're in the fall mm-hmm. before mm-hmm. they rise again.
Yeah, of course.
Looking for those kind of guys, because you kind of with TV animation, it's like you can't land super huge people who are you know, movie stars, mm-hmm. but like that's why I like the UCB era of people are mm-hmm. like, those guys are so funny, and we use a lot of them, and like the Comedy Bang Bang people, and even still, like some people who I started listening to Comedy Bang Bang like the couple months after it started as a
really?
Podcast.
Okay.
Like way back, I had a commute to the West Side and listened to it, and it was the perfect length for my drive.
Okay, yeah.
So listen to it all the time, and there's just so many funny people, but a lot of people in those early ones like are too big to get now.
For sure.
It's just like they're, you know, so I'm trying to find people who haven't quite hit it big, too big for our show yet,
yeah.
but who you can tell like you're so funny, you're yep. just gonna be huge yep. in like a year or two,
right?
Which that's about how long it takes for animation to come out,
right?
So.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah,
I had that for my documentary. Although the big problem with that is the tape was lost. Thanks, person who recorded it.
Oh no.
Yeah. So in 2000, so that it came out in 2016 on DVD, and I finished it not long before that. In around 2000, I don't know. We started the movie in 2008, and it took like forever to make, like 6 years to yeah. finish, or 8 years to finish, sorry. And right around the time, I want to say like 2011 or so, we interviewed this comedian. She was hilarious. She was funny. I saw her on this reality show. She's great. Tape got lost. 2 years later, she's Amy Schumer, and the movie is being distributed on a low level. Whereas if we'd had Amy Schumer in the movie, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But at least you've got the instinct, you know, yeah. you know, to hunt down these people. And it's also like there's this weird thing of like, I want to hunt down people who aren't famous. It's not like I've fallen out of love with you. I love you. That's why I want you on my show. Please
exactly,
don't be insulted
yeah.
by the fact that I know that you're.
We had Wallace Shawn on the show. You know, inconceivable.
Are you fucking
yeah.
I know.
Okay.
I played that part 10 times on stage. He's
oh, really?
My fucking hero.
Oh,
yes,
he's so great. I love Toy Story, and he's in Toy Story. And Princess Bride, and just such a funny guy. But he's a guy who I wasn't sure like if it was gonna happen,
right?
And it totally did, and everything fell into
so
place.
Good.
And actually, that episode has not come out yet. So,
no, are you not? Should I cut that out?
No, I think it's okay.
Okay,
I think it's okay.
All right,
it's exclusive for you.
This won't be out for a while. Damn it! Now I know you are an Aukerman fan. God damn it, Wallace Shawn, son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Sorry, that
it's
just
great.
Like
no,
I'm fucking
great.
Jazzed by that. That's
also,
amazing.
Coming up, John Hamm was in an episode, and John Hamm is so funny.
Yeah.
We were very lucky to get him because it's this weird story. But mm-hmm. long story short, one of our production coordinators, Kevin, thank you, Kevin, sat on a plane next to this nice old woman, mm-hmm. and the woman was like, "Oh, you work in Hollywood? Like my son works in Hollywood. You two should get together."
No.
Long story short,
no.
It's John Hamm's mom.
No. Yeah. Come on.
And that's... so John Hamm's mom basically set up this connection between our production coordinator, Kevin, and John Hamm. And they like met a couple of times.
Yeah.
And then he very graciously did our show while he was very busy working on something else in Canada. And he called in to do it. And it's so funny.
Uh-huh.
I loved him on 30 Rock. When
yes.
he's like the gorgeous guy, but he's an idiot,
fucking
and he
idiot,
like
yeah.
he loses his hands because he's so stupid, he keeps cutting him off. It's just like he's, and that was what like you know, Mad Men was huge, mm-hmm. and he was so serious and straight, but then he started doing all these little comedy bits,
mm-hmm.
and he's like, this guy is funny,
yeah.
he's so funny, and I love that he's kind of leaned into that with some roles, but he still can do like Baby Driver and like really awesome serious
right.
stuff,
right, and maybe Superman. Or Batman, sorry. He might be Batman.
Oh, that would be great.
Yeah. I always wanted him to be Superman, but now he's expressed interest
He'd be a cooler Batman, I think.
He'd be a fucking great Batman.
Yeah.
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 He's too cool to be Superman.
To be Superman, that's
Superman's
true.
Superman's more. You need more of like a just a Boy Scout.
That's
you know?
True. Yeah, he's not. He's not yeah. a Boy Scout.
He's too cool. For
I saw Bridesmaids. He's yeah. not a Boy Scout. That doesn't work. God, that's so good. Do you think he yeah. now avoids buying his mother plane tickets so she'll stop hooking him up with random people? Mom,
I have no
stop
idea.
It.
I love it.
That's
I love
so
that
good.
Though. That's so just
that's
like
adorable.
What it's such a that's the perfect like Hollywood story too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just how something came together.
That's a Midwestern mom. That's 100% yes. a Midwestern
yeah,
mom.
Yeah, right.
That's amazing.
That's what my mom does. I still actually I need to touch base with my mom. Last time she came out, my dad texted me when they got home, mm-hmm. like, make sure you ask your mom what the Uber driver said about your show. And I was like, I have no idea what this is going to be. And I hadn't thought about that. I still have to ask her whatever that Uber driver said.
The Uber driver told her. Yeah. That's amazing. All right, Shane, here's the thing. I'm really enjoying this, and I would love to have you back anytime, by
sure.
the way.
Thank you for having me.
But I want to make sure you, A, recommend why listen to this album, because I actually think this is good timing. This is 17 years later. There are plenty of people who might be fans of his, might be just young enough, they only grew up with him in cartoons or something. They might not know about Tenacious D.
Yeah.
So what's a good reason to listen to this album?
Let's see. Yes. Okay, I wrote down something.
Oh, good.
Because I know you ask this in every uh-huh. podcast, and I think, you know, personally, I just love it because it touched me at the perfect moment in my life when I was, like, hungry for music and comedy, and this, like, totally blended it.
Yeah.
But I would say, if you like vulgar, absurdist comedy, or, like, mock rock, this is the perfect thing. It's a movie star charisma with the most amazing, backed by the most amazing, like, well-polished music ever, with this whole, like, aura of these two idiots who can't pull anything together.
Yeah.
It's so charming and so funny. I would highly recommend it. They also have their other albums, Pick of Destiny, which was soundtrack to the movie that came out.
Uh-huh.
So they did a movie and after this self-titled album and their HBO series. And then like 6 years after that, Rise of the Phoenix in 2012, which was also delightful. And they kind of talk about how Pick of Destiny was a flop.
Mm-hmm.
And then coming up, Post-Apocalypto, I guess.
That sounds amazing.
I'm plugging their thing because I'm so excited for it.
Of course.
I feel like this. I'm just so delighted because it's been a while since there's been... It's like every 6 years or so, there's like a new Tenacious D album. And I hadn't thought about them probably since like Rise of the Phoenix. And so now it's like, I'm just so excited. There's a new album coming out.
That's so good.
It's going to be great.
And also, real quick note, PFT is in Pick of Destiny.
Yes. And he's in the HBO show.
I figured.
He is the like stage manager hosting the open mic.
Okay.
Without any facial hair, which is weird because I realized after, it's like, I've always seen Paul Tompkins with some sort of facial hair.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he's just this guy, this kind of put upon hapless guy who's always just dealing with like, okay, the band asked me to read this. It's like, if anybody, is in the front row, like, watch out. Like, you may become pregnant after this next act. And here's Tenacious D. And, like, it's just some sort of, like, thing where he just, like, he hates having to read this, but he always reads it.
Yeah.
It's great.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah.
You know, I will tell you, the facial hair helped differentiate him, because when I was younger, I confused him and Dana Gould all the time. They're not the same dude, but their voices are similar enough, and their faces are similar enough that I was like, is that the same? That's not the same. Is that the same guy?
Yeah.
One's got glasses sometimes. So, yeah, no, the stash really helped, and now it's like...
And now he's just dapper.
Well, you want like, he's, he's dope as shit.
It's great.
Shane, this has been amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Definitely.
Tell everybody about the show again and where they can find you and everything.
Yeah. So the show is Big City Greens. It's kind of a modern day Beverly Hillbillies, but it's really funny. It's kind of weird and a little dark at times, but mm-hmm. I think hopefully we transcend our Disney Channel audience as well. But it's on the Disney Channel. It's on the Disney Now app. It's on iTunes and Amazon and anywhere else you can like buy stuff. I think you can buy episodes on YouTube. There's a free episode on YouTube. I would recommend checking that out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on Twitter @ Shane Houghton. There's a lot of extra words in my last name, Houghton, so good luck with that. Thanks for having me on. This has been fantastic.
Of course. You're welcome to come back on. We can talk about something you've heard before or something you haven't.
Oh, interesting.
I like to fuck with people's brains like that. It's fun. If you've ever heard, Joseph Scrimshaw is a brilliant comedian, and he, ever since after his first episode, he's only listened to stuff that he's never heard before.
Oh, wow.
And just because he's like, I want to be surprised. And it's actually kind of fun. The thing about, you know, owning 500, 600 comedy albums is you realize most of them are shit, but it's kind of fun to discover what kind of shit you're about to listen
to. Of course.
You know,
Yeah.
Real quick, you guys can go to CelerySoundRecords.com. That's my little sketch comedy record label. And as I mentioned earlier, sometimes I play Wallace Shawn on stage. But we go to adrinkinggame.com. That's where we drink, the audience drinks. We do a stage reading of an 80s or 90s movie, usually, sort of. And we tend to do Princess Bride once a year. So hopefully, fingers crossed, I get to play him again for the 10th fucking time. But I love it. That's about it. Thank you guys for listening. And as always, have a good thing. Comedy on Vinyl is a production of Stolen Dress Entertainment. It is produced by Mike Warden and is hosted and edited by Jason Klom. Our theme song was composed and performed by Richard Levinson. You can email us at podcast@comedyonvinyl.com. You can also send snail mail to Stolen Dress Entertainment, P.O. Box 805, Burbank, California, 91503. Subscribe to Comedy on Vinyl on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and anywhere else you can find podcasts. Give us a 5-star rating and write us a review. It helps. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Comedy on Vinyl, or find everything in one place at comedyonvinyl.com. A major portion of Comedy on Vinyl has been underwritten by Stand Up Records. Please visit standuprecords.com for all your comedy needs and tune in to the new Stand Up Records channel available on the Roku, where you can also find select episodes of this podcast. Visit stolendress.com to listen to our other podcasts, watch videos, and imbibe freely of our multimedia content going back 15-plus years.